When I was in my early 20s, the day after Christmas was normally busy. I'd leave my home early in the morning and drive down with a car full of people to Ulladulla to participate in Beach Mission. Anyone ever been involved in Beach Mission? Yeah, okay, a few. Well, for those who don't know, it's a program run by Christians that happens in caravan parks during the summer. It's all about building friendships with holidaymakers who come to the same spot year in and year out, running fun things for the kids and sharing the gospel. Now, I ended up getting involved because I had a friend, Lauren, in my church who was super passionate about Beach Mission. It was the highlight of her year. Lauren and I were part of the same home group. We served together at youth group on Friday nights. We went into the city and listened to jazz bands or Christmas carols, depending on the season. And so when she asked me if I'd be willing to get involved, it was easy for me to say yes. I said yes for quite a few years, even though I found Beach Mission to be both good and hard. The good, I liked chatting with the kids about God. I liked getting to spend time with my friends and eating lots of sugary donuts. The hard, sharing a giant tent with a lot of girls who never seemed to want to go to sleep. And I was often so busy that I missed celebrating my birthday because I'd be planning an activity for Beach Mission. I was out of my comfort zone. But over the years, I grew my gifts and confidence, and it happened because a friend invited me to join in. Friendship is crucial. It's crucial to our own well-being. We all need friends in our lives. And it's crucial to what God is doing in this world. But because it's so ordinary, it can be something we take for granted. Yet the more I've been thinking about it lately, the more it strikes me how fundamental friendship is to the gospel. The gospel, the good news, is that we can become friends with God through Jesus. The gospel invites us into new possibilities, into love. When we say yes, we suddenly discover this whole network of potential friends. We discover we are connected to all these other people. That's the church. I didn't join a church because I thought the preacher or the music were great or because I wanted to know more about God. I could learn a lot about God by myself. I joined the church as an adult when I had a choice because friends invited me. And that was what I was looking for. Friendship. And how did my friends become connected to church? Through their friends and family, and on it goes. I started to get involved in what God was doing in the world because friends invited me. And through them, I began to discover what God wanted me to do with my life. Friendship is crucial. And yet it doesn't always happen in church. We can easily remain polite strangers or friendly acquaintances. Can easily just turn up and fill a role on a roster. I've struggled, as I know many others have, with having real friendships in the church, and it saddens me because we worship the God who loves. Friendship is crucial, and invitations are powerful. They can change people's lives. Now, it's not always easy to extend an invitation. It can be a vulnerable thing to do because there's always the possibility of rejection. But when we invite someone to hang out with us or to join us, we are opening ourselves up to new possibilities, opening ourselves up to love. I wonder, how did you get connected to this church community? I wonder if you were invited. Or whether anyone's ever invited you to join a ministry team. Friendship networks can expand. As we invite, as we meet new people through our friends, and then they can become our friends too, those networks are valuable. Paul knew this. He began in each city by connecting in with his network. He'd go to the synagogue and start with the Jewish people because this was his people. They shared a common language, history, belief in God. When we think about who we might speak to about our faith, it's our friends and family we should be thinking about first. Through this network, when Paul arrives in Corinth in Acts 18, he meets Aquila and Priscilla, verse 3. Because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. They connect over the fact that not only are they Jews, not only are they tent workers, but they are friends of Jesus. They have a lot in common. A close friendship is formed between them, so much so that Paul ends up working and living with this couple for a few years. He can stay in Corinth and continue to share the good news of Jesus because of their friendship. This is how the early church grew, through relational networks. Friends inviting friends, friends telling their friends about the gospel, friends caring for friends in the name of Jesus, friends opening up their homes. The church was not just a service that happened once a week on a Sunday. The church was a network of friends worshipping and serving God together, as I think it should be today. The church should be a network that expands, where friendships grow. Without friendship in this community, everything else we do is kind of hollow. The gospel we speak about is hollow. Paul's other friends, Silas and Timothy, eventually join him in Corinth too. Paul relied on his friends for support as he joined what God was doing, traveling around the Roman Empire telling people about Jesus. He could only do this because of his friends' support. You might remember that Silas was chosen by Paul to join him on this second journey around the Roman Empire. One of the first places they visited was a place called Lystra, where they met Timothy. He already was a friend of Jesus. Paul and Timothy connect, so much so that Paul invites Timothy to join him and Silas. It's easy for Timothy to say yes to this invitation because there is a friendship there. So they travel together. Paul and Silas spend time in prison together. When these friends arrive in Corinth, it seems like they bring money from the other churches, which allows Paul to dedicate himself to preaching the gospel. The churches are also networking together to support the gospel reaching new places. These are friends who work together to see more people come to know the good news of Jesus. And they do. Paul doesn't just stay friends with people who know Jesus. He becomes friends with those who don't know Jesus as well. The network expands. The leader of the synagogue and his household come to trust in Jesus. The Greek house next to the synagogue comes to trust in Jesus. This happens not just because Paul speaks about Jesus, but because he offers friendship. Brian Edgar writes, "It's not just about speaking gospel words, and not just even ministering to someone in word and deed, but it is engaging in a mutual relationship, living with the person, and receiving as well as caring and sharing. It is not aimed at manipulating the other, it is a genuine relationship that reflects the friendship offered to all by Jesus." Do we have space and time in our lives for friendships? It seems so ordinary, but this is what matters. Paul is reminded of this and of his friendship with Jesus when Jesus appears in a vision to him. Jesus comforts Paul with these words, verse 9. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." Jesus reminds Paul that not only does he have Aquila and Priscilla, Silas and Timothy, he also has Jesus. Jesus is with him as he speaks. God is at work in this city. Jesus calls on Paul to continue to invite people into this possibility, into love, into a new community. It's all deeply relational. Mission comes out of friendship. Joining what God is doing comes out of friendship. Sometimes we might get a direct word from God calling us to a particular role. And sometimes a friend might invite us into a particular role saying, "Come, join the team, get involved." Neither way is better than the other. Both are grounded in relationship. We get involved in what God is doing out of our relationship with God and our relationship with others. We might be invited to join a particular program like Beach Mission or Youth Group. We might be invited to join something a bit more organic like Kathy shared last week. She has a circle of friends who together have a heart for the Jewish people, so they are building friendships, learning the language, praying for one another, and speaking about Jesus. Neither way is better than the other. Programs have a place, as does the work and love that happens outside this building. But both need to be grounded in friendship. Paul spends over a year and a half in Corinth before he eventually heads back to Antioch, to the church that sent him out. And as he goes home, he travels part of the way with his friends Aquila and Priscilla, but they end up staying on in Ephesus. In Ephesus, a man named Apollos passes through. He's a gifted communicator and is enthusiastic about Jesus, even though he doesn't really know that much about Jesus. So Priscilla and Aquila go to hear him speak. Verse 26. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They take the time to teach him about Jesus, kind of acting like mentors here. This is also what friendship amongst Christians look like. We encourage one another to keep following Jesus, to know Jesus more. And this happens mostly in homes, over meals, across the months and years. This couple take the time to pray for Apollos, to challenge him and help him to develop his gifts and knowledge so he can go out and speak clearly about Jesus. Neither Apollos nor Paul do this alone. They are part of a network following Jesus together. The last year I was involved in Beach Mission, I was the coordinator of the kids program, and I became friends with a girl named Christy who was helping on my team. We laughed a lot together, and soon after she started coming along to my church because someone from the Beach Mission team had invited her. She became part of my home group. I got to baptize her. We served in night church together. I celebrated her 30th birthday in Fiji. This year, when the lockdown first happened, I was struggling with the isolation. It felt like I had lots of work to do, but my friendship ties were thin. I prayed to God, asking to see His grace again at this time. Christy had just abruptly returned to Australia after serving with a team of people on mercy ships. She asked if she could move in with me, and I said yes. It felt like an answer to my prayer. I like doing stuff. I like speaking about Jesus. I like advocating for the poor. But at the end of the day, I need to know that I'm also loved. The work we do, our lives, they need to be grounded in relationship. We are meant to be a network of friends that support and are supported, that gather together and then scatter out looking to build more friendships, growing this network of people who are friends with Jesus. It begins and ends in friendship. So we're going to spend some time now thinking about what are the ways that we can grow in our friendships throughout this next week.